It's time for Big Foamy Head Beer Witness News, the latest breaking, hop-hitting, no-holds-barred coverage of the malt and barley world. Sit back, crack a cold one, and get ready for...
This is an A1 four-alarm red, white, and blue alert.
Beer News.
We're joined with Rick Light, liketodrink.blogspot.com.
Hey, Rick, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great this week. Hey, the basketball tournament's going on right now, and the American Medical Association is sponsoring ads in college newspapers around the country with the theme, Stop the Madness. The AMA is calling on the NCAA to ban alcohol advertising during the basketball tournament. You'll recall NCAA sites are not allowed to sell beer during the basketball tournament games, and the AMA is complaining that the alcohol industry spends more than $52 million a year advertising during college sports.
Yeah, but they also support the teams. I mean, that's kind of the business of doing sports. That's how they can afford these to recruit these athletes, right?
Yeah, it's their target audience, too.
Yeah.
Well, exactly. And you know, college sports is big business. And, you know, while the AMA says that this encourages underage drinking, you know, the colleges and the NCAA and the networks that broadcast the games need the money to be able to fund their efforts.
That's true. Otherwise, you know, the ticket prices alone or non-alcohol commercials or advertising, I guess, would have to fill the gap, right?
Exactly.
You know, boy, they're really trying to clamp down on this stuff.
Yeah. Next thing, they'll probably won't want you drinking beer at hockey games. And football will be the last to go.
Well, I was going to say, the hockey, I don't think they'll ever allow that in Canada.
Yeah, that'd be real good.
Well, hey, a little bit further south than that, in Alabama, South Carolina, and West Virginia right now, the legislatures in each of those states are considering bills that follow along the Pop the Cap effort that was successful in the last couple of years in North Carolina and Georgia. These three states have bans against any beer with alcohol contents above 5% alcohol by weight. So they serve pretty thin beer in those states right now.
When you say bans, that's for producing or distributing or consuming or all of the above?
All the above. You can't make it, you can't sell it, and legally I don't think you can drink it. But I would bet, kind of similar to what went on here in North Carolina before the bill was passed here, people you know, can cross state borders and buy product, and I know that's going on with people in South Carolina coming up to the Charlotte area and buying some of the Belgian beers and stuff and taking them back. In each of these states, in Alabama, they want to go from a 6% limit to a 14.9%. West Virginia would go from a 5% to a 15%. In South Carolina, it's going to be a 14% alcohol by volume limit.
14?
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty much what North Carolina did. And yeah. I know that when North Carolina popped the tap, that became a huge market for the beer imports.
Mm-hmm.
They got the international and national beers just came pouring in.
I mean, you would think, at the very least, if not, you know, raise it, tax it a little different if you have to, but it's just kind of ridiculous and backwards to screw yourself for beer consumption when, you know, you're going to drive out of state, just like you said.
Yeah, why have any limit, though? That's my question.
Yeah.
You know, why stop at 14? What's wrong with 20%, you know?
Yeah.
So,
well,
a Dogfish 90 is okay, but
because these states, I think, with going to 14, it kind of matches up to wine. But you know, if you really look at the products that they're talking about here, the people who argue against this, I think they feel that you know, this is going to allow a lot of malt liquor consumption in their states. And the reality is that most of the beers we're talking about are Belgian style ales and barley wines. Not exactly the thing that people are guzzling out of 40 ounces. And one of the things that I read on this legislation was that with the rules that they have in some of these states, about 40% of the beer styles made in the world are illegal to be sold there.
Well, good luck to them.
That's some legislators doing some good things. But in other states, maybe they've got a little bit too much time on their hands. In New Mexico, their House just passed a bill by a 35-20 vote where they're going to eliminate the sale of single cans and bottles from ice-filled bins near the checkout counters and convenience stores. The legislature in New Mexico is thinking that this will help cut down drinking and driving. It still has to get past the Senate in that state. And then meanwhile, up in Rhode Island, we've got another case of a state considering an effort to raise the beer tax. Rhode Island is looking at a bill right now that would increase the cost of every beer, they're saying, by about a penny. So it's not a lot, but they're saying that they would use this funding for alcohol treatment programs and education programs, and it would increase revenue for the state by about $2.3 million.
Well, being a guy who has never picked up one of those cold 40s out of a bin, I sort of wouldn't mind seeing them going away, but I hate to see any more restrictions put on us.
Although, you know, you were mentioning last report or time before about the chiladas that the folks at the big breweries are coming out with. That would seem to be where they'd most likely end up, at those to-go bins where people are, you know, heading out the door and it's impulse buying. So
yeah, the impulse buy factor and you know is big with that bin. It's the same reason why they have soda there, and they do have laws that prohibit open containers in vehicles. So getting rid of the single sales is not going to eliminate the problem. They just have to enforce the law that they currently have on the books.
Yeah, and I
agree.
Good
point.
I still think though, if you're there to buy a malt liquor, and you know, okay, you have to walk all the way to the back of the store to buy it. It ain't going to deter you from drinking. I mean, most of the people, and some of these guys out that are buying the 40s, they're buying them in the morning on the way to work.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, time, location, it makes no difference. They're going to get their 40 on, and it doesn't matter when or where. They're just going to do it. So, hopefully it would deter the impulse and the convenience of it, but I think we're talking, all things considered, a minimal impact.
Yeah, and speaking of impulse, my last item this week is the fact that Heineken is going to follow in the footsteps of Budweiser, Sam Adams, and Saranac, and some other beer brands. They're rolling out their own branded pub for airports. The first Heineken bar is opening at the International Airport in Hong Kong. And this thing, I've seen a photo of it. It is big and green, I guess is the best way to describe it. And the Netherlands brewer says that they're planning to open up a number of these in international airports around the world. And if it proves to be popular, they may even open up some of these bars in major metropolitan areas inside of cities.
Well, I've been to the Budweiser ones, and the only thing negative I got to say about it is that's also where you can smoke in some of the airports. That's the only place you can smoke, and people are free to destroy themselves any way they see fit, but personally, it interferes with my beer drinking. I enjoy a smoke-free environment for my beer drinking, and, well, I guess if it's Budweiser, it doesn't really matter. But Heineken, we'll see, right? Good for them. More competition.
We'll see how it goes. We'll keep an eye on them.
Yeah. You said Saranac does that, too?
Yeah, they have a location in the Albany Airport. I don't know where else they may have them. I've seen Sam Adams in a couple of different locations. They have one in the Dulles Airport in Washington.
Yeah.
Which is, as you kind of described the Budweiser location, one of those fairly smoky places.
I wouldn't mind having seeing some regional beer pubs. You'd think they would in the airport.
Mm-hmm. I think the Orlando airport used to have a shipyard location. I'm not sure if it still does. And I've seen signs where Gordon Biersch may be opening in some airports around the U.S.
There you go. That'd be good, too. Just something. God. Mm-hmm. Anything. I'm glad to see Heineken coming in, just because it's not Budweiser. That's it. But
get over there.
We still like. I need to quit bad mouthing Budweiser. you know, they're trying. So we got to give them credit for trying. But they're still, geez, man.
You can love them or hate them, but at least they're interesting.
Yeah, they are. They are that. And it seems like this is one of the rare reports where they haven't been up to something. Every time we've got some news coming, they're up to something, but not this time. Okay, it's been a slow week for them.
Been a slow week. You know, maybe their new product people just had to take vacation.
That must be it. All right, Rick, thanks as usual for enlightening us on the world of beer and what's going on.
Hey, we'll talk to you guys next
time. All right.
All right, thanks, Rick.